Amen. Holy Spirit, we just so thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your presence. Whether we're at home or whether we're here in this building together, that the same Holy Spirit is with us right now. And we thank you that wherever Holy Spirit is, amazing things happen. Because you are just so awesome. And we give you permission, not just tonight, not just this weekend, but in this new season, we give you permission not just to come and fill us, but to position us, to align us with you for all that you have in store for us in Jesus' mighty name. Speak to us. Speak to us during the worship. Speak to us during the cups of tea and the food. Speak to us when we're at sleep. Speak to us through the word. Lord, we say speak because we really want to listen and to move in response in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow, the worship was great. A big hello to everybody at home. Tonight as well. I can see you. Yay! it's great. I'm so so thrilled to be with you tonight. Ali and I are going to share some things with you this weekend that God has really been taking us through in this season. And for both of us, you know, we've both had major opportunities to enjoy the national health with our loved ones, you know, to be in corridors with lots of trolleys and havoc going on. And in the midst of all of that, God has been at work. You know, for me, I found out that my mum had very serious cancer early in January. And by March the 11th, I was holding her hand as she slipped into the arms of Jesus. And, you know, we're going to unpack a few things about the great things and the struggles. And, you know, what I really believe is that God is preparing our hearts for such a major move of his Spirit. And it's no good us just saying, you know, Holy Spirit, we want more of you. We want this fresh move of your Spirit when we're not willing to deal with the stuff that gets in the way, you know. And for every one of us, very often, it's not the obvious things. And so it's really important that we just open our hearts to really allow the Holy Spirit to just bring things to the surface and to deal with those. So Ali's going to do some incredible teaching. And I just want to share just a little testimony just to whet your appetite and just to encourage you and to encourage you with the word that you've just brought. Why I was getting excited was our team always go away around September time, and we have an advance because we're Christians and we don't do retreat. Do you know what I mean? We like, we're never going backwards, we're always going forwards. And so we went away, and our worship leader is just amazing. And he was just leading worship, and Ali was doing teaching over the weekend. It was great. So I felt like, you know, I could just almost sit back and enjoy it, you know. And we all need to have those moments, don't we, where we can sit back and you haven't got the weight of the responsibility. And you can just allow the Lord to really minister to you. And, you know, I hope this weekend for every one of you, you know, whether you're here in person or catching up, you know, later on or at home, you know, that you can allow yourself just to relax and to allow the Lord to minister to you. And during the worship, the Lord began to put his hand on my heart. And it was to do with something that happened when my mum physically died. And, you know, I don't need to go into what it was. But it was something I'd not told a soul about at all. And for me, it was something quite traumatic. But I never told even Steve. And I tell Steve everything. And I hadn't told him. And I just held it, you know, deep down in my heart. And it was one of those things where you're like, I can't even admit that that just happened, because this is my mum. And so the Holy Spirit just began to fall on me, and I just began to sob. And now, I wasn't sobbing because my mum had died. I wasn't sobbing because I was grieving. But I was just sobbing because there was this wound in me that God needed to heal. It wasn't to do with that, because for me, you know, it's a bit like you were saying, Helen, my mum is in heaven. Why should I be grieving, in a sense? You know, she's in heaven, she's restored, she's healed, she's whole, and she's the person that I never met, the one that God wanted her to be, and she's that person now. And so I rejoice in that, but I was sobbing, and I was on the floor and I couldn't get off the floor. I was just so sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And two things were happening. The first thing was me, as the leader of the team, being in a total mess on the floor, gave everyone else permission. Not that they need it, but to really, you know, let go and let God. I mean, I wasn't particularly worrying about where anyone else was. I just was, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with my heart. And, you know, for some of us, we need to be on the floor sobbing our hearts out. For some of us, we need to be laid back and just listening to the Lord. Holy Spirit moves in different ways, you know, on us, doesn't he? But I was sobbing. And in the midst of that, Jesus came into the room, really came into the room. And suddenly, I was stretched out on the floor with my hands out. And suddenly I saw his feet. Now, I'm not into feet unless it's my little grandchildren's feet that are all squidgy and gorgeous and, you know, soft and everything. So I'm not really into feet, and I'm definitely not into men's feet at all. But these feet were beautiful, and, you know, they were like really olive skinned feet, and they were smooth and beautiful. But it was the aroma, it was the fragrance, you know, that was on upon these feet. And there was no scars on these feet. They were just beautiful. And they had these little tiny black hairs on the toes, you know, that sometimes men have. Not that I've got that close to men's toes. I could never be a chiropodist. But, you know, His feet were beautiful, and the fragrance was just incredible. And I just said to the Lord, why are your feet so beautiful? You know, why do they smell so beautiful? And he said it was the alabaster jar that Mary poured out. And, you know, that he's still moving and walking in the fragrance of the anointing. You know, that Mary poured out upon him from the alabaster jar. But for me, that was such an incredible experience, you know. And the Lord wants to come tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, in the days ahead, and meet with you in a really powerful way, because he's a powerful God and he wants to do powerful things in these days. So you know, we've got kind of a bit of a two-edged sword this weekend with me and Ali. Ali's doing, you know, some of the teaching and impartation around healing, and it's a fantastic, you know, words that she's bringing, and you'll get a lot out of it, I'm sure. And I'm going to unpack some prophetic revelation that we've been getting on the back of all this year, which for us, we know, is absolutely critical that we understand in these days. So that's kind of where we're going this weekend, if that's okay. So I'm going to start with Joshua 1:1-3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. And, you know, this is the season where God has been saying the old wineskin is dead. It is dead. It's absolutely dead. There's no life in it. It's dead. He said to him, now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. It's new territory. This is a season where God is saying, you know, you cannot cross over into the new if you are dragging Moses' dead body with you. You've got to see that the old wineskin has died, or you will not be able to cross over into the new things. You know, we're not crossing over next year, you know, in 10 years' time. We are crossing over now. And we met with some leaders on Monday, and they gave a great analogy, you know, about the London Marathon. I think it was on last Sunday, that they don't all cross the starting line at the same time. You know, so that there will be those at the front will be crossing over, and the ones at the back are still standing waiting to move. You know, it's a bit like when you're in the traffic jams and you're waiting at the back for ages, aren't you? And before the ones at the front have already moved off. And it's a bit like that. We're in that kind of season where actually the new season is here. And some people are already in it and moving in it. And the others at the back are going, I've no idea what's happening. You know, but it's about we have to choose to receive the word of God. And that means, you know, all across this weekend we'll be saying to you, have your ears open. Because there's a real desperation for us to truly hear what God is saying. And a great example for me and Ali this afternoon, we met with the gorgeous Angie Lendon, for those of you who know Angie, at lunchtime today. And she gave us some instructions about getting off the motorway, you know, on it and off it so we could get here. And we were like, oh, yeah. We didn't really understand what she was trying to tell us, to be honest. And so we got onto the motorway. And, you know, by the time the different junction opening to get off, we'd missed it. And we were like, that's where we needed to be coming off there. And so we had to drive like another 18 miles or something, you know, to go up the motorway and then come down some A road and a nice scenic tour through your gorgeous countryside. It was lovely. But it was like God was giving us a clear illustration of what happens when we're not listening. And we can pay superficial attention. But if we're not really hearing, you know, what God is saying to us, we can really big style miss out. And this is a season, if you're not really listening, you know, you will miss out. You'll miss what God's doing. You'll miss God's provision. You'll miss God's opportunities. You'll miss the divine appointments. You'll miss his provision because God is calling us. And whether you're at home and you're not able to get out, that is exactly the same for you as well. You know, God is positioning us in a spiritual place and we have to really hear. And so here, the children of Israel are being told to get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot as promised to Moses. You know, again, I want to just say it again so we're absolutely clear. Moses, my servant, is dead. it's a new season. So Joshua 5, going forward, verses 6 to 15. The Israelites had moved in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died. You know, that's what happens when we're not listening to God. That's what happens when we're not obeying him. That's what happens when we're carrying Egypt on our backs. You know, when we continue to carry Egypt in our lives, we go round in circles. And I remember coming out of a church that I'd been in the leadership team of 21 and a half years, and it was one of the most excruciatingly painful experiences of my life. And Sharon Stone was with us the weekend, our final weekend there, and she knew nothing about what had been going on at all. And we went out for lunch with her, and she said to us, Sue, she said, I don't know what's been going on, but she said, that church is about to go round the wilderness again. You know, and there are many churches in this season, and they're going round the wilderness. Yeah. They're dying. Yeah. And you've got to choose tonight. You've got to choose in these days, in this season, are you going to listen to God? Are you going to obey him when he speaks to you, even when it's scary? Because actually, these are very exciting days. They are really exciting. And we're going to unpack a lot of those things. They died because they'd not obeyed the Lord. Churches are dying. Ministries are dying because they are not listening and they are not obeying the Lord in this season. But the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's provision. You know, you might think, well, Sue, don't you realize that we're in, you know, an energy crisis? Do you not realize that the mortgages are going up? Do you not realize, you know, that we're in a financial crisis? I want to say there's no crisis in heaven. Amen. There's no crisis. And we should be the most peaceful, contented people, you know, in this place, because our God is our provider. You know, every one of us can look back over however many years, you know, we've been on this planet and say God has never left us without. You know, that is our testimony. You know, he's not going to reject you now. And we need to be the ones who are really full of hope for the days ahead. We're in a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they'd not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they were healed. What a challenge. Now, I just want to ask, are there any nurses here tonight, qualified nurses? Because we're going to, we're going to designate you to use the room at the back. It's all been set up. It's all clean. And, you know, we're going to circumcise all the men tonight. Now, can you just imagine for one split second, if God actually said that today, you know, we'd have this side going, oh, well, I don't believe that's right for today. We're not having that. You know, and then we'd have this side going, oh, yeah, we believe that's the Lord, you know. And whether it's Brexit, whether it's, you know, Donald Trump, whether it's, you know, our government or this, that or the other, you know, the enemy is coming in like a flood and bringing such disunity and such division. But the great thing here was the children of Israel obeyed. You know, it doesn't tell us that Joe Bloggs and his mates decided they weren't having it. You know, they all went through the same process, you know, of circumcision. And again, you know, when we go through difficult situations, whether that is a bereavement, whether that's, you know, a situation that a crisis or a trauma or, you know, something that's going on, we tend to think as Christians, we put our plastic fantastic mask on and we get ourselves up and we, you know, we lift our shoulders back and we push on, don't we? Is that just me?
No.
And that's what we do. But clearly here, you know, they had to rest until they were healed. And, you know, we're really rubbish at that. Well, there's two kind of camps and even in that, isn't there? There's those of us who go, do you know what, I'm fine. I'm getting up, I'm fine. I'm going to carry on as normal, you know. And then we start hemorrhaging and everything because actually we're not at all fine. But there's the other camp that lies down and never gets up again and wants everyone to run round after them. But actually, God is saying, you know, as his bride, as his body, you know, we need to allow the circumcision to be done. And that is in our hearts. That's in our minds. That's dealing with the rubbish. That's getting rid of the things that hold us back. You know, God has had a church full of orphans and broken-hearted people. And, you know, it's time that we allowed him to come in again, to restore us, to heal us, and we rest. You know, that rest is so critical. When I nursed my mum at home, it was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. I will be really honest. My relationship with my mum was really difficult. And, you know, my experience with the house was very traumatic. And so the last thing I wanted to do, particularly in this current season, was to be responsible for looking after my mum dying at home. You know, you ring the district nurses and they never came when they said they would come, although they were doing their best, you know what I mean? And you're just left with this traumatic situation. And, you know, that was the truth of it. That's the nitty-gritty of it. And when my mum had died, you know, I'd been there every night, overnight, and through the day for 8 days, constant. And I was exhausted, and I needed to rest. You know, we need to take time to rest, to recover, to be healed, you know, to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit, so that actually you're not out of action. You know, people have been out of action most of their lives and stuck in a time warp because they've never been able to face the issues and allow the Holy Spirit to heal them. And, you know, I really believe with all my heart that God wants to set his people free. You know, and that means every one of us. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Today the Lord is declaring it is essential for you to step out of your reproach of your past and to empower you for the days ahead. So what does reproach mean? It's disapproval, disappointment, the loss of your reputation, it's disgrace, it's a whole mix of those things. If you're living with reproach, especially in leadership, you know, it's like the children of Israel after they left Egypt, and you just walk around and around in circles, trying to please everybody and pleasing nobody. And definitely not pleasing God. And you just walk around in circles and never really see the breakthrough. You never see those dreams that God has given you come to fulfillment. In fact, you usually abandon them along the way because you've just got so exhausted. You'll never come into that season of abundance and fruitfulness. After my dad died, we had such a battle over my mum and dad's house, you wouldn't believe. And my mum chose to stay in the house. And for me and my brother, it was a place of great trauma and great pain and great difficulties. I cannot think of a single happy memory. Now, I'm sure there must be some, but I just can't. I just don't know. I can't remember them. And that's okay. All I could remember was that it was a terrifying place to be. It was full of embarrassment, you know, and disgrace and shame. Ours was the house that the police were called out to. Ours was the house, you know, that the police van would be outside with six police officers trying to get my dad into the back of the car, shortly followed with an ambulance that came to take my mum. And, you know, that I was there with a 12 years old, taking responsibility for everything that was going on. You know, ours was the house where the door got smashed and the windows got broken, you know. And so there was a lot of shame and a lot of reproach and embarrassment. But I want to say that caring for my mum at home and having to stay there every day and every night, you know, I was able to pray. And I was able to welcome the Holy Spirit into that area of my life, you know, and to have that reproach, you know, lifted off me and put onto the cross. God is willing to give you grace, whatever it is that you face, whatever it is that you have not been able to face. I want to say to you tonight, the Holy Spirit is well able to help you. Holy Spirit is well able to pour his grace out upon you to cause you to come through the other side really strong and well. It's all about us dying to ourselves, actually. While we're carrying all this stuff, you know, we're choosing to stay victims of our past. And God, you know, we've sang about being victorious tonight. You know, if you're a victim, you can't be victorious. You can only be one or the other. You know, and you become victorious by laying all of that stuff at the cross. And I know some of us have been through hell and back. Some of us have been through some terrible, terrible things. But I want to tell you, there's nothing so terrible that Jesus didn't take to the cross. And he's already carried it for you. And so, you know, whether we're in leadership or not, it is so critical that we lay these things down. Ask the Holy Spirit to put his finger on exactly where it is. You don't need to go digging about. Someone once said, "I never knew how strong I was until I had to forgive someone who wasn't sorry and accept an apology I never received." And, you know, for me, my relationship with my mum was always really difficult. And in one sense, I didn't expect her to change. You know, I knew God could change her, but I knew in my heart that was not going to happen. And right to the end, you know, she never once said she was sorry. For all the stuff that she, not once did she say she was sorry, you know, but I had to keep rolling out that red carpet of forgiveness nevertheless. Lamentations 3:22-23, fabulous. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And we can sing these words so easily. But actually, you know, are we willing to walk in them? Great is his faithfulness. You know, he's never, ever, 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 ever going to let us down. Because that's what faithfulness looks like. And, you know, in the world, we measure faithfulness. You know, well, has your husband been faithful? Oh, no, he went off and had an affair, or he went and did this. Have your friends been faithful? Have your children been faithful? Have your employers been faithful? And at the end of the day, we're human. And we will hurt one another and we will let one another down as much as we don't want to do that. You know, but God never does. He's utterly, utterly faithful. How fantastic is that? There's new mercy and fresh mercy for you to grab hold of every day. You don't need yesterday's mercy. You know, when you get up tomorrow, say, Lord, I'm grabbing hold of that faithfulness and that mercy that you have for me today. You know, we grab hold of it and we walk in it and we live in it and we, you know, it's just so powerful when you begin to understand the mercy and the faithfulness of God. Apply it to your lives. Apply it to your loved ones. Back to Joshua. After they were circumcised, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. And the next day, they ate some of the produce of the land and the manna stopped. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't need food banks anymore and just this supernatural flood of provision and food started to arrive in people's homes? Do you think God can do that? I really do think he can. I think it's a sad state of affairs that we need food banks. I really do. I think it's heartbreakingly sad that in the UK we need food banks. You know, and I'm praying, you know, that we will, as certainly as God's people, see that flow, you know, of the food that God wants to supply. Verse 13, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. And we spoke again earlier on about the sword. Drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied. You know, it's just like you can imagine, you know, In the American election, you know, are you for Joe Biden or are you for Donald Trump? Are you for, you know, the Labour Party or are you the Conservative Party? Are you for the Brexit or the non-Brexit? Are you for the ones who want the vaccine or the ones who don't want the vaccine? And, you know, all these questions that we have that bring division. And here he says, and this is life change. This has been life changing for us, hasn't it, as a word, actually. Are you for us or for our enemies? And he says, neither. But as commander of the Lord, the army of the Lord, I have now come. As commander, he'd come to take command. And we need to let the penny drop. Because we're good at commanding ourselves, aren't we? You know, we're good at taking command of the worship. We take command of how we do everything. We take command of how we lead church. We take command of so much. When the Lord is saying, I've come to take command. And this is a season where God is saying, I want my church back. Amen. I have come to take command. And it's so critical that we stop and listen and tune our ears in to really hear what God is saying and what God is doing. Because if the commander is in the house, he's going to be doing things. And he doesn't want us just to be stuck doing the usual stuff that we're so good at doing. It's really important, you know, that we sense and we see and we hear where the Lord is and what he's doing. And so that when he talks to us and he calls us to do something, we are ready to respond. And we'll share an amazing story tomorrow of what God has done this year. As we have listened and obeyed him. As the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and worshipped. The first thing that Joshua did when the Lord showed up and said, I have come to take command, was he fell to his knees and began to worship. You know, God is restoring worship. God is restoring the heart of worshippers. You know, Joshua didn't go, you know what, God, I've got this shopping list. There's this woman down the road and, you know, she's having terrible trouble with her husband and there's this child, you know, that's really ill and dying. And by the way, you know, Mrs. Jones in number four, there's this situation going. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you know what, these children of Israel, there was a whole group of them that wouldn't get circumcised and had so much trouble to persuade. He didn't. He just fell to his knees and worshipped. And God is saying to us in this season, we have got to make worship a priority. And, you know, we do something called Big Push. And, you know, we're talking with Ali earlier on today. And, you know, the worship is changed. It's really changing. And the spiritual atmosphere is changing. And it's like, it's becoming so holy that you don't want to do anything to get in the way of the worship. And, you know, God has been, a couple of times he's spoken to me in the midst of all of that and said, I want you to go and do this. And I'm like, I can't do this. Is like so holy, you know, this worship is all about the Lord, and if I get up right now, you know, I'm gonna shatter what's going on. And you know, it doesn't matter how prophetic you are and how long you I'm still like, Lord, I don't want to do anything that stops you, that gets in your way, that hinders you in any way, because you're so holy. And we need a reverential awe, you know, about God, that he, there's a holy fear, you know, of not wanting to displease the Lord. He is our Heavenly Father. He is our friend. He's all of those things, isn't he, you know, that we can be intimate with. But he's holy. He's awesome. And so I've kind of been like really quite nervous about breaking again in those moments. And we had a fabulous worship team back in April. We have a fabulous worship team all the time, actually, but it changes. We always have slightly different people that Steve Brook brings in. And in April it was actually the Grand National Day, and so in Liverpool particularly, every police officer is on duty, and they're really busy because there's just thousands of people everywhere. And even if people can't get in to Aintree itself, Liverpool is packed, the pubs are packed, you know, everywhere is packed full of people. And it's a great atmosphere. But we had one of our guys called Dan, and he is a worship leader in his own right in St. Helens. And he was part of our worship team on this particular day. And the Lord said to us in the middle of the worship, I want you to go and I want you to break reproach off the worship team. And so I argued with God for a little bit, like you do sometimes when you're stupid. And so I kind of wrestled with the Lord for a little bit about it. And then I knew I had to do it, you know. And the background to the story is that in December of last year, my hearing had been deteriorating really badly. And I had a bit of a virus and it just completely was terrible, my hearing. And my poor mum was trying to tell me that she had this awful cancer early in January. And I didn't hear a word she said. And she was literally, you know, 3 feet away from me. And so early January, I went to Specsavers, and wonderful Specsavers. and had my ears tested, and they were dreadful. And they said, you need hearing aids because you've got very serious hearing loss. And so, like all of those who have hearing aids, it takes some adjusting to. And so first thing in the morning, I'd put them in, you know, and I would just trying to get used to wearing them. Anyway, by April, of course, you know, I'd been wearing them for 3 months, and I was, the only thing I was really struggling with was worship. And, you know, the sound was a bit all over the place, and I'm trying to pitch my voice, you know, to sing. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, I really want to be able to worship you. And the month before, I'd taken the hearing aids out, and then I couldn't hear anything, and then I put them back in again, and it was like, and that was my frustration, Lord, I really want to be able to worship you. So back to the April big push, and as I was wrestling with the Lord, he said, right, I want you to go and break reproach off the worship team. You know, every time when you're in the worship team, someone has said to you, the drums are too loud. Oh, you've sang that song before. Why do you sing that song every time we come here? Oh, you've sang that song 15 times, or you've sang that line every time. Oh, you're too loud, or I'm too quiet, and I can't hear. And it's just yeah, he's smiling. These guys know what I'm saying. Because there's just a bombardment all the time, intimidating the worship team. And, you know, this has been going on, hasn't it, forever probably, because the enemy wants to silence the worship. And so I said, I really feel we need to pray for our worship team and break reproach off them, you know, really bring them into freedom. And we have cameras now, a big push, and we're getting used to them. But it means that, you know, you can watch our big push online in 2 weeks' time after we've done it live. But I'm like, you guys probably are thinking, oh, well, we've got the camera, so you've got to be a bit more careful about what goes on, and, you know, you've been being careful. And I thought, I don't want to look wacky, you know, do you know? I know, you know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, that needs to be kind of sensitive. I found myself going up on the platform going, I want to pray for you. And I'm like, oh, when I look at it on the screen, it's really embarrassing. But I prayed for Dan. Right, lovely guy. And we prayed for each member of the worship team. And I had Dan on my sight, you know, laid hands on him, praying for him. And as I came down off the platform, I can only say I felt like I was hit with a bolt of lightning. And as I got back to my seat, I was like, oh, that was really nice. I don't know what that was about, Lord. That was really nice. And carried on with the meeting. Anyway, a couple of days later, I was saying to Steve at home, why are you shouting at me? He said, I'm not. I said, why have you got the telly on so loud? He said, I haven't. So the next day, I still hadn't cottoned on. So the next day, I thought, I'm not going to put my hearing aids in. And do you know what? I've not had them in since. And God had healed me. And I hadn't asked anyone to lay hands on me. I hadn't, you know, been weeping and wailing and distressed and, you know, forlorn about it. But the Lord himself restored my hearing because I wanted to be a worshiper. And the amazing thing was that Dan, who is a serving police officer, Ali, do you want to just come and tell this bit of the story? Good.
So Dan works in St. Helens, which is where I'm from, and we got, you know, all the prayer intercessors, we got an emergency call, can you please pray for Dan? There's been an incident, and he's been really severely, you know, injured. So of course, you know, we just started really praying. I let Sue know and the team know, and we just started praying for him. And he'd been involved with some other police, and they were stopping a couple of guys who were involved with drugs. And this van that they were escaping in, they had run over Dan. So they'd run over his legs, and also they had he'd pulled his shoulder and his wrist. So he was in a lot of pain, as you can imagine, and he was obviously rushed to hospital. And we just kept praying. and then after time, we discovered that actually a miracle had happened, because his legs, nothing had happened to his legs. They weren't broken, or he was a bit bruised, but they weren't broken. His shoulder, yes, had been dislodged, but it was, you know, it could be dealt with. And his wrist as well could be, you know, mended. And it was just absolutely incredible to hear, you know, what the Lord, his miracle of this young guy, you know. So it makes you wonder, had Sue not prayed for him, what might have happened? And we're going to hear his testimony next, Big Bush. He's going to tell us, you know, exactly, you know, what happened, because he can't give too much information out at the moment because he's in court next week, I think. Yeah. But it's just quite amazing. You know, when you hear from the Lord, you have to act. You have to respond. You can't just sit there. You've got to do it, because lives are at risk.
Yeah, so Dan will be sharing his testimony, which we're really looking forward to. But he's playing his guitar. He's, you know, leading worship. He was with us last Saturday when we had Big Push. And he's just amazing. And, you know, he's just so full of faith, isn't he? You know, of what God, because of what God has done. And his colleagues who laughed at him for being a Christian, you know, have all admitted that something had saved him. Yeah. So we'll wait and see, you know, just the opportunities, I believe, for Dan, you know, to share that it was the power of God, you know, that his legs were not broken is just a miracle. You know, just, and it made Sky News. You might have seen the story on Sky News. It was that big a story. So, you know, it's really important. And I don't know the answer to the question, but what if I had not got up? What if we hadn't prayed for him? You know, what would have happened to him? Would I have been healed? You know, and God is after us getting over ourselves, you know, get over yourself and just be obedient. When I had to get over myself, I look at on screen and go, oh my goodness, like, you, I'm going to pray for you. I was like, oh, it just looks so weird, but there we go. You know, God, you might use you to save somebody's life. You know, you need to be obedient. God wants to take command. Moses was stopped in his tracks and commissioned by a voice coming out of a burning bush, whilst Joshua was stopped by the Lord himself, and his response was to fall to his knees to worship. God is calling us into his presence, no matter what else is going on around us. And again, I'm going to share, you know, just some amazing testimony of what God can do. You know, even when you're walking next to a witch, what God can do is just phenomenal. And I'll unpack that tomorrow. You know, it's God's presence that heals. It's God's presence that cleanses. You know, it's God who sets the captives free. And it's in that place of submission and worship that God can truly revive us and set us apart afresh for him. We sense that many are, you know, at a real crossroads. In Ali's house, she's got one of these things that you have on a boat. that navigator tells you what direction you're going in, you know, and it kind of moves, doesn't it, if, with the waves and all of that. And it's not moving very much because it's just in the toilet area of the house at the moment. But I'm sure it has moved a lot in the past. I just glanced across at it this morning, and just the Lord just said, you know, you basically got to set your course to follow the Lord. And, you know, we don't know where we're going. If you think you know where you're going, you're wrong, probably. Because in this season, actually, we don't know. Having a 5-year plan isn't going to work. You know, having a 10-year plan is definitely not going to work. You know, and when we're managers, you know, when we're managers, that's how we operate, isn't it? You know, but the church is not a business. And it doesn't need managers. You know, it needs spiritual mothers and fathers who will sense where the Spirit of God is set, taking us and set the course. You know, we don't know in CWM, do we, Ali? We've got no clue. No clue. But, you know, in the last year or so, we've packed our office up. We have sold loads of stuff off. We've given stuff away. You know, we don't have an office anymore, and it's really exciting, and we've got no clue where we're going. And we've moved Big Push out of Liverpool into Frodsham in Cheshire, and God is showing up, and it's really exciting. And, you know, we have the flexibility that if God says do this, you can go, right, and drop in that, and off we go. We've got that fluidity, you know, which is fantastic, to be able to just respond, you know, whatever God tells us to do. And God is wanting command again. He wants to set the course. You know, he has given you dreams and visions. You know, if they're from him, when you allow him to take command, those things will come to pass. You know, so often we get a dream and a vision and we think, oh, we've got to make those things happen. And when we do that, it's disastrous most of the time, isn't it? But we just have to position ourselves and say, God, I'm listening. God, I'm willing to obey, even if it scares me. You know, even if I'm uncomfortable with this. You know, Lord, I'm setting my face to follow you. And we desperately need that in this season, don't we? You know, we're at a crossroads. Many people are running out of steam, particularly leaders at this time. And it's like, you know, we can't cope with not knowing where we're going. And so we go back. You know, the whole COVID closure thing was not some demonic thing happening. It was the Lord closing the church so we could spend time with him. And so he could come and take command again. You know, and all that time is wasted and lost, where leaders in particular and congregations pressurize and leaders just to go back. We want to go back to the way we were before. And if that's what you've done, I really want to challenge you about that tonight. Because, you know, God is moving. He threw the church on the potter's wheel, as we heard last year, you know, and he's remodeling us. And so we need to allow him to take command. Turn your eyes upon the commander. Allow him to take command of your personal life, your family, you know, your ministry and the church. Shall we just stand? Be cool. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to pray. Maybe you'd like to repeat this prayer after me. Lord, we lay our lives down before you.
Lord, we lay our lives down before you.
We give you our past.
We give you our past.
Our present.
Our present.
And we give you permission
to
open every door in our hearts.
Lord,
that has been bolted shut. We sacrifice any victim or orphan heart that has held us in reproach. And we receive today the healing and freedom that Jesus paid for with his blood. Jesus took our reproach upon himself. And we thank you that right now, our future is no longer determined by our past. But it is determined by who God says we are. And his plans for us. Thank you, Lord, that your word to Joshua was to be strong and courageous. And we thank you today that same strength and courage is available to us. And we choose to take hold of it. And we use that strength to forgive those who have hurt us, who've never been sorry. And we accept apologies from those who've never given them. We let them go. And we hold nothing against them. Today, Lord, we choose to step out of reproach and step into healing and freedom. Amen. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you afresh to come and to lead us into a new place of worship where our hearts are abandoned to you, where we have a fresh revelation again of your love. We say, come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your fire and overwhelm us with your grace and your power. Lord God, when you come, let us instantly fall to our knees, Lord God, and worship you. Lord God, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If that's spoken to anyone and you just need us to agree with you in prayer, and even during the worship, you know, we're happy to pray for you. You know, I really believe the big thing is not hours and hours of ministry, but it's about you agreeing with God's heart and us agreeing with that, because the anointing of God can do it. If he can heal my ears, you know, if he can heal my ears like that, he can do anything, can't he? He's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that, Sue.